Well, good morning. Did someone say the youth are in here?
Yeah.
Where are they? Where? Oh, okay, over there. Welcome to the youth. Well, we're going to start out with a little game this morning. It's called If You Ruled the World. This is a game that I stole from Trevor Noah's podcast. And what they do is they either ask other guests on the podcast or the audience, if you ruled the world, what is one thing that you would do or one thing that you would change? And then the other guests on the podcast get to decide whether or not they would live in that world. So I'm going to describe a few different scenarios, ways of organizing society, and you raise your hand if you would live in that world. All right? Would you live in a world with a 4-day work week for everybody? That's easy. Who's not raising your hand and why? Okay, that was my next one. 4-day school week. Okay, some hands. Some of the parents are like, I don't know. All right, next one. Would you live in a world in which every single person at the beginning of their career is required to work in a service industry job for 6 months? Okay, I heard a yes, amen. Right? Maybe that helps them develop some character and respect for other people in their lives. Right? This is the last one. Would you live in a world where every business workplace determines salaries and raises democratically? Meaning you only get a raise if the majority of your coworkers vote that you deserve one. Some people are like, I'd like to vote on theirs, but not them on mine. A few people. Can you imagine being around at the time of Jesus, and you've heard stories about this coming Messiah, this king, and you're expecting and hoping that he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire because they're occupying your land. Or maybe you're hoping he's going to bring religious reform that you think is much needed. And then Jesus arrives on the scene. He's announcing the world God is making. A world in which God is restoring all things, bringing his justice and his peace. And he says, the kingdom of God is like this. Can you see it? I'm holding a seed. You probably can't tell. It's a very, very small seed. Would you want to live in that world? What does that mean? What would you be thinking? What kind of kingdom is best illustrated by a story about a seed? You might be thinking, if you've seen other kingdoms come in and rule violently with heavy taxes, it sounds interesting, sounds different. We need different. But then again, a seed doesn't seem very strong, very influential, very stable. A vulnerable seed, it disappears into the ground. What if it doesn't take root? If you were Jesus' campaign manager, would you be approving this strategy? Would you want to live in that world? Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 3, says this. Listen. Are you listening? Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30. 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. I wanted to throw seeds out into the crowd just so you understand the picture, but then I realized the people in the front probably wouldn't appreciate that, and I would have to clean it up. So just imagine. I often hear this parable told as though it's a story about the fate of humanity. The message being, make sure you're the good soil where the seed can grow. But I think there's more to this parable. There's more to learn and see. It was April 2020. I was pastoring a church in Ontario, Canada. The weather had started warming up, and we were seeing little glimpses of spring, and I was preparing for an Easter gathering in the middle of a global pandemic, and I was trying to figure out how to make Easter feel like Easter when nothing was the way that it used to be. It'd be a virtual gathering. People were sad. People were scared. People were grieving. So I had this idea. We were going to give everyone at the church who didn't have any seeds so that after the virtual gathering, they could go out and plant the seed, and it would be like this visual representation of the hope that we have in Christ. Only one problem. Coming from the desert of California, I didn't know that in Ontario, Canada, there's something called fifth, sixth, and seventh winter, meaning you get a little glimpse of spring, then there's more snow and a lot more snow. But somehow, maybe by the power and grace of God, these seeds took root. They grew. Cucumbers, peppers, tomatoes, even watermelon. We threw a party, a social distance party that summer, and we made appetizers with food that had grown from these seeds. We had so many zucchini, we packed bags full in a car, and we took it to a food bank. Is anybody buying this? Because I'm totally joking. That is not how the story went. Everything is true, but the ending, none of the seeds grew. It was the worst object lesson of all time. But I told the story this way because I think this is the story Jesus is telling. I'm sure at least a few people in the crowd, as I told my story, were thinking, no way. That can't be true. Which is probably what people in the crowd were thinking when they heard Jesus. Jesus, you obviously don't know how farming works. You can't just throw seeds around and expect there to be an abundant harvest. The parable is telling us something about the kingdom of God, the world God is making. That even though the kingdom doesn't manifest itself with obvious evidence of power, even though it's a bit puzzling sometimes because it doesn't meet our expectations of what it should look like, even though it's difficult to track sometimes because it seems like it's growing so slowly, the kingdom still comes. Did you notice that the parable, at the beginning of this parable, Jesus says, listen. Multiple times in the book of Mark, this theme comes up of having eyes to see and ears to hear. It's almost like Mark is saying, wake up, not to the disciples, to the readers. To you, to me, the disciples missed it, and you might too. Whoever has eyes to see, let them see. Because the question is never whether or not the kingdom is here. Jesus says it is. The question is, do you have eyes to see it? Do you have eyes to see it? God's work in the world. Sometimes I think we can miss the kingdom because the ways of God's kingdom are antithetical to some of the ways of our world. Sometimes we miss the kingdom because partnering with God feels more like surrender than stability. It may seem like it involves more setbacks than advancements. It often feels like falling behind instead of getting ahead. It feels like interdependence rather than self-sufficiency. And it could mean that we do unseen work that seems to have little fruit. Until. I've mentioned before that the first church I worked at was a different kind of church because it existed within and for a specific neighborhood, an area of concentrated poverty in Fresno, California. So we existed for this neighborhood, 8 blocks by 12, 923 homes. We lived in the neighborhood. We were seeking the flourishing of the community, and I was a youth pastor. And it was a little bit different than you might think because, yes, we wanted people to become lifelong followers of Jesus, but the mission was holistic because we could see that there was systematic injustice and obstacles that were going to make it more likely that the teens in the neighborhood would serve time or join a gang than graduate high school. So we were walking alongside our neighbors, seeking their flourishing, our flourishing, as we dismantle and overcome these obstacles. But this was hard, because on the one hand, it seemed like hope was bubbling up all the time, but then despair was always following close behind me. Years after I left the job, I found out that there were teens who ended up serving time or joining a gang, and it was gut-wrenching. It makes you wonder, God, what are you doing? What were we doing? And then this last Mother's Day, I FaceTimed with someone who was one of the teens in our youth group. She's now also a mom. And it was really sweet. She was giving me advice. She's like, I just became a mother, if you didn't know. She's like, Grace, one day they will get sick. Kids get sick, and you're going to be scared, but they'll be okay. I was like, thank you. It was very sweet. And she was telling me about how she got this new job. And afterwards, I texted someone who's still on staff at that church, and I said, hey, I just talked to so-and-so. She said, no way. I was praying for her this morning because we haven't seen her around in a really long time. But then I was prayer walking in the neighborhood, and I ran into her. And I asked how I could pray for her, and she said, pray that I find a job. I need a job. And then she said, actually, can you pray for my relationship with God? I want my relationship with Jesus to be better. And we were both marveling at the fact that God met this real need. She needed a job, and that somehow she still knew her deepest need. And it was a sweet gift, a kind gift that God gave me, reminding me that the labor that we do in partnership with God is never in vain. This series is called Faith Without a Script, but today we're talking about the faith required to partner with God. It requires faith to partner with God, to sow seeds, to follow Jesus, even when his ways feel counterintuitive, even when it seems foolish by worldly standards, even when you don't see results. Because when you're praying and the prayers seem like they're going unanswered, when it seems like you're not getting the results that you expected, when you're getting ready to lead your small group again, after years of creating the space, do you ever wonder, like, is this working? Is this making an impact? For better or for worse, let me back up. It requires faith to sow seeds when God's work in your life or in the world is absent or stalled. The book of Mark starts out with the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was this guy who lived his life in obscurity, a lot of it, anonymity. And then in the beginning of Mark, it says, all of Jerusalem and all of the Judean countryside are coming to hear from John the Baptist, this message of repent, the kingdom of God is here. Finally, it's like his career has taken off. He's living in his purpose, preparing the way for Jesus. And a few verses later, almost in the same breath, Mark tells us that John was arrested. Can you imagine? John hasn't done anything wrong. He was doing what God called him to do. And just like that, John's been arrested. But this word, arrested, is actually a poor translation of a Greek word, that would be better translated handed over. Stick with me here. This word, handed over, is the same word that is used when Jesus is arrested. It's the same word when Jesus says the disciples will be arrested or handed over. Do you want to live in this world? Kind of seems like everybody who picks up the gospel gets rejected. But this is where we need eyes to see. Mark wants you to pick up on this. Somehow, through all of this, the kingdom still advances and grows. In fact, it's almost like a relay race. A professor that I had in seminary in his commentary on Mark wrote this: each time someone is handed over, a new stage in the proclamation of the good news is reached. Friends, this means that God's purposes is not ultimately thwarted by betrayal, suffering, or injustice. God's reign is destined to grow and be victorious, however insignificant and incomprehensible it might seem right now. Now, I'm not saying that Christians should always be triumphant, like the kind of toxic positivity. To the contrary, sometimes walking alongside someone in their grief is kingdom work. Sometimes telling hard truth about what's been lost is kingdom work. Psalm 126 says, those who plant in tears will reap in songs of joy. Sometimes faith looks like planting seeds with tears in our eyes and trusting God with a harvest. I chose this passage for my last sermon because I felt the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart to remind you all that we are not a community of people building a church. We are a church community partnering with God as He builds His kingdom. This is good news. Yes. So, as I sort of mentioned, I have a church planting background. The first church I worked at was a church plant. The second was a church plant. My parents were also church planters. And it forces you to live in a lot of uncertainty because the odds of the thing continuing for a lot of years are not in your favor. And there's something about living in the reality that, okay, we might run out of money in a few months, or the landlord and the place that we're renting together could change their mind any day and say, you got to find a new place. It forces you to live in a dependence on God, but also with this posture that it's about the kingdom. Because when our ultimate hope is in the success of a church, a career, a relationship, or our particular vision of what the future should look like, then every disappointment or transition feels very threatening. We might even start to protect the institution. But when our hope is rooted in the kingdom of God, when our lives are joined to God's and the world that He's making, and we're seeking Him and we're seeking to become more like Him, then we can face hard truths without despair. We can embrace change without losing hope. We can follow where the Spirit leads, even when it's not our preferred vision of the future. We're not investing in a church, we're building a new world with Jesus. And one of the most difficult things about the kingdom of God is that sometimes we don't get to see the whole story. We can't always make sense of what God is up to in the moment. We don't always see the fruit. But the good news is that in the kingdom of God, our work is not sustained by visible impact or results. Our work is sustained by the presence and power of God. So we can continue to pray, even when we're tempted to believe that prayer doesn't matter because we don't see results. We can orient ourselves towards the presence of God, believing in His power to transform us into the likeness of Christ, even when it's not moving as quickly as we'd like it to. We can continue to sow seeds of love and justice and peace, even when they seem small in the face of all that is terrible. And this is good news because this is also the same truth that allows us to take Sabbath, to rest, to say, it's not all up to me. God is at work in the world, and we get to partner with him. So let me ask you, how do you want to partner with God this summer? How is God inviting you to partner with him? Maybe you realize that your summer rhythms are so different, and so it can be hard to find time to connect with God, but you're going to be really intentional about orienting yourself through a prayer practice, through Sabbath, through reading scripture. Maybe this summer you want to practice understanding, and so you go to your spouse or a family member or a friend that you have conflict with, and you say, I know there's something about your life or your experience of our relationship that I don't understand. Would you help me understand? Maybe you simply pray every day for a neighbor or coworker and say, God, what are you doing in their life? How do I join you? All of these things can be seeds in God's kingdom. The world that God is making is like a small seed. It fell to the ground. It was all but forgotten. And then unexpectedly, just when you started to doubt and question, life springs up from the ground. The kingdom is victorious. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this reminder that you are at work in the world even when we can't see it. That you are at work in this space, even right now. God, I pray that right now you would build our faith, that you would give us vision, that you would help us maintain and develop a posture that you are at work and we're partnering with you so that we can hold our hands open, stewarding the gifts and the resources that you've given us for your kingdom, but without the burden of feeling like it's all up to us. Lord Jesus, I pray you would bring freedom in that right now, that you would resurrect our hope. I pray this in your name. Amen. So there'll be a few questions on the screen that you can discuss with someone next to you, or if you would prefer, you can also reflect silently to yourself. And then the worship team will come back up here in a few minutes.